AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Everyone's talking about DeMar Hamlin this morning. The Buffalo Bills player still in critical condition after suffering a cardiac arrest during a Monday night football game against Cincinnati. CBS's Jennifer Kuiper tells us he was hit hard.
DeMar Hamlin collapsed on the field and was administered CPR before being taken away in an ambulance during Monday night's game against the Cincinnati Bengals. Hamlin collided with Bengals receiver T. Higgins after a completion, got to his feet, and then collapsed. He was taken off the field 16 minutes later, and the Bills gathered in prayer.
Fans across the country have since rallied behind Hamlin, donating to a toy drive he set up on GoFundMe. It's raised more than $3 million so far and counting. A deadly storm that hit California with record rain and floods is now headed east this morning. Weather Channel meteorologist Mike Bettis is tracking it.
A lot of storms forced their way into the deep south, including Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, and Tennessee. Then, of course, there is going to be a risk for winter weather, including a very large swath of intense snow from North Platte, Nebraska, up toward Sioux Falls and Minneapolis, anticipating 10 inches of snow or more.
It won't warm up until the weekend. New year, new airport problems. Air traffic control computer issues forced the FAA to slow down air traffic in Florida yesterday, delaying flights at major airports all over the state. Wing TV's Taylor Wirtz is in Fort Myers.
I've spoken to many people who have been delayed at least 2 to 3 hours, and they say that they're the lucky ones. The front desk was telling them a lot of these problems were due to that computer glitch.
Flights in Denver were also canceled over icy conditions. In Washington, a new session of Congress gets started today, with Republicans set to take control of the House and elect a new speaker. Here's CBS's Rebecca Kaplan.
Republican leader Kevin McCarthy huddled with allies and foes Monday night in a last-ditch bid to secure a deal to become the next speaker of the House. McCarthy has already made several concessions sought by the handful of objectors, and it remains to be seen whether he will be able to convince enough lawmakers to support him during the full House vote for speaker today.
The man suspected of brutally killing 4 University of Idaho students is expected to waive his extradition rights today. CBS's Donya Backus is in Moscow with more on Brian Koberger.
He's facing first-degree murder charges for the November 13th stabbing deaths of 4 University of Idaho students. Law enforcement sources say forensic analysis allegedly linked him to the murders.
But his motive is still a mystery. Fans are lining the streets now in Santos, where Brazilian soccer legend Pelé will be buried today. He died last week after a long battle with cancer. He was 82. Dow futures are up this morning. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With the I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Our guest is Kristen Elfheim, who is the state Senate candidate for District 19 in the Fox Valley.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
There are really good people that have been in Madison on both sides. And if we're not letting the strongest problem solvers win, we're making a mistake.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. it's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow is a product of Courier Newsroom and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the state of Wisconsin Sense. Another beautiful day up here on Lake Wasota, a snowy day. Looks like about a half inch has come down so far, with more to come, unfortunately, especially points to the north and west of here. So we obviously hope everyone is using extreme caution on the roads if you have to be out and about today. It's winter. You know, we're not going to sound off any clacks and horns or bells and whistles here. We're just going to remind you it's winter. Do take it easy out there as best you can, because like we like to say here at the Kreitlow home, we are one day closer to spring. So let's just keep that in mind. Coming up this morning, Congressman Mark Pocan talks about his recent trip to Cuba, speaking of warmer weather. And he talks about the give and take that's going to be needed before relations can make any kind of a post-Trump turnaround. I went to Cuba 7 years ago now. And like any American who gets the opportunity to go there, you are stunned that relations are frozen the way that they are. These are people that committed only the sin of being ruled by a dictator, and they deserve better. And the Obama administration was starting to open up inroads to better relations with people of that country. Then Donald Trump blew it all up. Since that time, the Cuban government has done its own share of missteps in cracking down on protesters. And so the congressman is going to explain what both countries have to do in order to have a smoother path toward better relations. Congressman Pocan will also talk to us about the reason that we are getting set to pop a big old box of popcorn today as we watch Republicans take over one House of Congress. They're taking over the House of Representatives, and job one is usually quick and easy: elect a speaker. And the new party coming into power knows who its leader is. They hold the election. That person becomes speaker. It has gone that smoothly for exactly 100 years. And it looks like that string of smooth elections is going to end today as the circus comes to town. And as Kevin McCarthy falls short of the votes that he needs currently to become speaker, does he win over those intransigent Republicans? Or does that right flank hold the rest of the Republican caucus hostage, a caucus that now includes, as of today, Derek Van Orden, who in the middle of winter rode his motorcycle out to Washington. So we already have to question his decision-making skills. We question them as well in his choice of a communications director who spent the entire 2022 election season being an online troll, and wonder if there's anything good that can come of a Congress that can't even decide if they stand with the pro-Trump crowd or are going to continue to try to pretend to be with the anti-Trump Republican crowd as well. So there's a lot to talk about there. And Chad Holmes is slated to join us at 7:50 to preview his show that's based out of Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. If you'd like to reach the show, radio at upnorthnewswi.com, or call us 844-967-2789. or the Up North number, 715-388-7155. Aaron Zommers is here as well. Down in our Madison studio, where you are not getting the snow that we're getting here, I believe, correct?
Not snow. Right now, we're definitely getting some just gross sleet, though. The roads were actually pretty slippery this morning. I looked outside my window, and I was like, huh, that looks like it's not frozen. And I stepped on it, and I found myself proven wrong.
Oh, no. Yes.
I didn't fall over, but it was very slippery.
Yeah, it is just that it's been that kind of a season where you can't take, you have to assume everything is slicker than it otherwise. It isn't one of those where you just crunch on the snow and the snow is actually, you know, good for your footing. There's much more likelihood of ice being underneath this, either because of the freezing drizzle or because of the stuff that freezes once it falls. So everybody needs to be careful out there with that.
Yeah, you'd think I'd know that by now, having lived in Wisconsin my whole life, that once it starts to snow, I should just wear my boots every day.
Yeah, that's what I thought last week. I was out in something and suddenly realized I was in deeper snow than I was expecting and really questioning my decision to wear tennis shoes that day. So even though we are native Nanooks of the North, that does not always mean we have the best decision-making skills. We don't have any update for those of you wondering since last night about Buffalo Bills defensive back DeMar Hamlin. He remains in critical condition after suffering a cardiac arrest on the field during Monday Night Football. Turned on the game after seeing a lot of notes on social media about performing CPR on the field. And sure enough, an ambulance had just rolled onto the field in Cincinnati where the Bills were taking on the Bengals. It was a stunning and a chilling scene where Hamlin made a tackle, then started to get up, and then his legs turned to rubber, and he fell backwards. And at this point, he is sedated. He is on a breathing tube. He is listed in critical condition, and that's really all that was released by the hospital and by the NFL about the 24-year-old. So we will continue to monitor that and, you know, be reminded yet again of the dangers that you find in many occupations, and we sometimes forget there are dangers in the occupation of professional sports and in professional football. The players ultimately decided they could not go on, and so while the game was only in the first quarter and did have playoff implications, it has been indefinitely postponed. All right, let's take a break and get back to the race for beginning Congress under the big tent after this. You're Up North.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Scattered rain showers likely today, otherwise overcast skies. Daytime highs approaching 41. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 34 tonight. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance of snow showers. High temperatures reach up to 38. a dusting of snow tomorrow night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Peace on earth was all it said. Go ahead and hate your neighbor. Go ahead and cheat a friend. Do it in the name of heaven.
Oh, we are going to see such a battle in Washington today, and it will be Republicans not taking on Democrats. They'll be doing that plenty of instances after today. But today it's Republican on Republican violence as the House caucus takes over the House of Representatives for the new session of Congress and not only has to elect a speaker, which is still in doubt, but then sometime after that, make a decision on what kinds of things do they want to do that could conceivably be good for the country. I'm kidding, of course. They're not going to do anything like that whatsoever. They're busy talking about Hunter Biden and potentially being some kind of a tool of China, forgetting that we just learned last week that Donald Trump had a bank account in China that he did not tell Americans about, along with bank accounts in other countries and foreign income that we don't know nearly enough about. But sure, tell us about Hunter Biden, somebody that most of us would not recognize on the street if he were in a police lineup standing next to Porky Pig and Bugs Bunny. But what we have right now is a House Republican caucus that, let's talk about the Republican Party writ large. Because, again, there are more than one or two Republicans out there in the real world who would like to move on from Donald Trump. And there are politicians who are trying to placate them, even while at the same time trying to, much like the senator from Arkansas, Josh Hawley, raising his fist on January 6th, they try to stir up the troops who are still very much in favor of installing Donald Trump as, you know, their own dictator or whatever it is they want him to be while claiming election fraud. You cannot have a party that tries to have it both ways. And yet that's what we see from Kevin McCarthy at the federal level and Robin Voss, the assembly speaker, at the state level. Now, McCarthy, look at any biography of him. Any biography is going to tell you one key part of Kevin McCarthy's DNA is to say anything, is to try to tell everybody that he agrees with them. And it has taken him this far. It's taken him to the verge of the speaker's office. Oh, no, he has actually moved into the speaker's office. Nancy Pelosi has left. Kevin McCarthy has moved his stuff in, even though he has not been elected speaker yet, a rather bold move, one might say. But he is still trying to let people know from the various factions of the Republican caucus that he's with them, no matter which side it is that they are. Let's remember, this is somebody who was one of the first high-ranking Republicans to criticize Trump in the aftermath of the insurrection. And he was the first high-ranking Republican to fly to Mar-a-Lago and take part in the ultimate GOP act of debasing oneself. And that, of course, is doing the ridiculous thumbs-up gesture for a photo op with the former guy. Meanwhile, we mentioned that State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has tried to have it both ways on Trump. He has acknowledged that Trump repeatedly put pressure on him to take actions that would illegally roll back Wisconsin's 2020 certification of Joe Biden's election victory. And yet Voss also told the January 6th committee that Trump never actually demanded specific actions to overturn the will of the Wisconsin voters. Voss has resisted Trump's pressure to do more, but not before Voss wasted $1 million of your money and my money in a phony investigation run by Mike Gabelman. So the more I think about this, the more I think that the Republican Party's historical mascot has always been an elephant, but for now, I think it needs to be changed to the fictional push-me-pull-you from the Dr. Doolittle stories. It's a two-headed creature with the appearance to be endlessly coming and going, a creature that believes it is moving in the right direction by approaching either pro-Trump or anti-Trump Republicans and telling them what they want to hear. In truth, the push me pull you, like the party, they're incapable of forward progress. Frankly, they're uninterested in forward progress. They just want to go back and forth, pretending or preferring rather to engage in ceaseless brain for attention and not being useful enough to pull anybody's wagon, yours, mine, or that of the Congress. And that's what we're going to face from Republicans even after today. Again, assuming they elect a speaker today, and the race for speaker in the House of Representatives has been a one ballot race for exactly 100 years. It's been that long since a party needed to debate with itself. And, you know, to see some national news reports, they talk about how this happened a few times before the Civil War. In one case, it stretched on for like 2 months and 155 ballots before, you know, it was determined who was going to be the speaker. And even then, the result wasn't what people were expecting, because some members of Congress double-crossed their members and didn't vote for the person that they told them they were going to vote for. So we see that trait that's been around for a long time in the halls of Congress. And so there's no telling whether some of the anti-Kevin McCarthy people will eventually say, well, for the good of the party, we're going to support McCarthy. Or if McCarthy actually has as many votes as he says he does, and if he has whatever it is, let's say it's, you know, 205 or something at this point, maybe he doesn't. Maybe a few of those folks, or a few more of those folks, are able to be peeled off as we sit with our box of popcorn and watch that later today. The Republicans in the House only have a five-member margin, so McCarthy can only afford to lose four votes. That means that for this entire two-year session of Congress, McCarthy is going to have the toughest time getting anything passed that could be construed as productive. He will not have a problem getting, you know, the 214 votes required to, again, do an investigation or to look into impeachment of Joe Biden or cabinet officers or whatever the case may be. But beyond that, remember, we just got done having quite inarguably the most productive legislative session in recent history. The things that have been passed and put into law for the good of the economy, for the good of Americans, was lengthy. It's going to be productive, and it's going to pay benefits for some time to come, which is good, because it looks like, you know, for the next 2 years, we should not look for any activity that actually moves the economy forward. And that's where I wanted to really go next on this, was to ask our Republican friends what it is they want to do, what it is they want to stand for. And what prompted this is actually another event that's taking place today, the inauguration of Tony Evers to a second term as governor of the state of Wisconsin. It's going to be a busy day at the state capitol as well, as Governor Evers is sworn in, as Sarah Rodriguez is sworn in for the first time as Wisconsin's lieutenant governor. We will have a new state treasurer. We will have Secretary of State Doug LaFollette and Attorney General Josh Call sworn in for new terms. And we know what Evers has wanted to do. We know what Evers has done. We know that Republicans have tried to block it every step of the way. But it occurred to me to look at what is it that Evers has in fact done or proposed versus what Republicans have done or proposed. If you look just at the news releases that come from the governor's office, just at the ones that focus on actually doing something for people in Wisconsin, I'm going to read a sample of these. And I just want you to think about whether you've heard something similar from the Republican legislators in terms of actions for the Wisconsin people. So these are some of the headlines from the governor's press office. Governor Evers launches housing program to support individuals experiencing homelessness and opioid use disorders. Evers announces $5 million investment in rural transit. WEDA to announce $2 million in foundation grants for emergency low-income housing. Evers kickstarts new $2 million veteran rental assistance program. Evers and DWD announced $15 million grant to boost access to childcare, early childhood education. DATCAP announces additional $10 million investment in food security, hunger relief. Evers and the DNR announced $143 million in federal funding is approved for drinking water and wastewater improvement projects. Evers and DNR announced beginning of PFAS firefighting foam collection for disposal. Evers and WEDC announced more than 6,600 small businesses and nonprofits have received Main Street Bounce Back grants. Evers and DATCAP announced meat processors will receive meat and poultry supply chain resiliency grants. Evers announces $40 million to expand access to high-speed internet access across Wisconsin. And on it goes about veterans, about rural entrepreneurs, about infrastructure funding, about, again, childcare, EMS providers, helping improve the port of Manitowoc, access to clean drinking water. These are all things, some of them, yes, are involve federal funds. But again, those are federal funds being put to work versus what Republicans kept saying they wanted to do, which was to block Governor Evers' ability to spend or basically do anything. And then that savings would have been turned into their one-size-fits-all tax cuts. I understand as well that part of the comeback to this might be, well, all you're hearing in that list is, you know, that's the culture of dependency, of, you know, people relying on that. No, that's actually called governing. It's saying, here's the money that we have raised in order to benefit our state or our country or our vulnerable populations and doing this. That's the job of governing. And instead, what we're hearing from folks is, well, you know, people need to pull themselves up by their non-existent bootstraps. The ones that might have been available to you in you know, a bit of a more privileged background, but not available to all. So when you look at just that partial list from one Democratic governor in one Midwestern state, you want to turn to Republican legislators and you want to turn to the Republicans taking over Congress and ask them, what is it that you're going to do? What do you stand for? What will you do under the definition of governing for the people? So we know that Evers is going to talk today about his plans for how he would take care of a $6 billion surplus and put it to work for you and me. We're going to hear about governing and doing things that are progressive and productive. And meanwhile, on the Republican side, especially at the national level, we're just going to pop our box of popcorn and see if ultimately they decide to answer that question for us, if they can be bothered long enough to stop fighting amongst themselves. We'll have more after this on Up North News Radio.
It's a push me, pull you. Look.
Holy O'Reilly, forgive me. I'll never touch another drop.
So I'm in fact the other end. They're very timid. This is without doubt the first bounce ever.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Buffalo Bills player DeMar Hamlin is in the hospital this morning after a hard hit last night on the field. CBS's Christopher Cruz.
In a tweet, the Bills said Hamlin suffered a cardiac arrest after a tackle. He was given CPR on the field and his heartbeat was restored. An ambulance came onto the field and took him to the hospital. He's in critical condition.
A suspected tornado touched down in Jesseville, Arkansas, causing damage and power outages. School Superintendent Melissa Spears says a high school was also hit.
I had two staff members who have suffered some minor injuries.
The storm's moving into Mississippi and Alabama now. In Washington, House Republicans are set to elect a new speaker. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Kevin McCarthy has sought to become Speaker of the House for years. With Republicans taking the majority, he'll need about 218 votes on the House floor to get there. A House conservative faction is holding out, saying they won't vote for McCarthy, which means he may have to make more concessions.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
A Shiro's work is never done. You care for the house, the kids, and our future. We're so grateful for all you do. Now, it's time to care for yourself and save a little more for retirement. A free 3-minute online chat can give you the personalized tips you need to boost your retirement savings now. Visit aceyourretirement.org today.
A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to ALZ.org.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
This will not be the last time that we need to use a cartoon theme to talk about the new session of Congress that's getting started in Washington. In looking at the posts from Wisconsin's newest congressman, 3rd Congressional District Republican Derek Van Orden, two things stood out to me. One, as mentioned earlier, is that he has hired a new communications director who was previously the communications director for Tim Michaels and his failed campaign for governor, a job that appeared to be doing nothing more than trolling folks on Twitter and putting things up along the lines of, I know you are, but what am I? But on a more serious note about the kinds of things we're going to expect from the new congressman for Western Wisconsin, a heavily agricultural district, we get a post talking about the Biden administration having a war on farming. And Van Orden posts an article that talks about radical overreach that will hurt our ability to produce food. Well, this sounds rather ominous. And of course, it's from Fox Business. So we went and clicked on it just to see what exactly it is. The headline says, the Biden administration quietly reinstates, quote, overreaching EPA rule that would potentially regulate puddles and ditches. Now, set that headline aside. Look at the body of the article. And for the first 3/4 of the article, it makes perfect sense that the Biden administration is reversing course from the Trump administration and signed off on regulations from the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, to protect small streams, wetlands, and waterways, all as part of the Clean Water Act. The Biden administration made this move last week, just before the end of the year. They ultimately repeal some Trump-era regulations that made many waterways susceptible to pollution and were thrown out by federal courts. That's what this article in Fox Business says. It revises what types of water bodies are protected under the Clean Water Act and were based on definitions that were put in place even before the Obama administration. But it was the Trump administration that reversed course and looked for ways to rein in federal protection of waterways. The Trump administration's rule, according to the Fox Business story, benefited farmers and builders and oil producers who were concerned about feds regulating ravines and creeks on private property like farms, as if those don't run into other bodies of water, other larger where as each of these mega farms mishandles the way that they spread manure from thousands of cows. Sure, at first it looks like it's just staying on their land and going into gravity works and water eventually begins to flow, you know, someplace else. So there's new rules. And again, I apologize if early this morning we've got a bit of a loose connection on the line to Chippewa Falls here, but hopefully that'll be restored in a matter of seconds. The new rule increases protection of wetlands, lakes, ponds, streams, especially if they are navigable, or wetlands that are, quote, relatively permanent, which might depend on where you are in the country in terms of, you know, whether you're dry most of the year or not. Well, anyway, you read through all of that, and your first thought is, okay, we need to do this. We need to make sure that especially these mega farms, oil companies, developers, that it's not easier for them to think they're just polluting, you know, stuff on or near their land when, in fact, it affects all of us. But, of course, it being a Fox Business article, then down at the end of it, it has people talking about, who's this person? Oh, a Republican congressman from California who opposes the regulations. Rural America doesn't need yet another rule giving the federal government more power over farming and private property. The federal government shouldn't have jurisdiction to regulate puddles, ditches, seasonal creeks, or culverts. All this rule does is make it more difficult to grow food or build anything. No, it makes it more difficult to pollute. That's not a bad thing. We hear from a Republican senator in Montana who calls it overreach and says it infringes on the rights of farmers. But as we've said before, freedom to farm does not equal freedom to pollute. So that whole headline about the overreaching EPA rule, who says it's overreaching? The people in favor of the polluters. That's what Derek Van Orden decided to post to his Twitter account last evening on the eve of his being sworn into office, and talks about it under the frame of a Biden administration war on farming. This in a district that is still heavily populated by dairy farms and other producers who help feed the world. And if Derek Van Orden is essentially pulling a Scott Walker and putting a sign up on the borders of the third district that says open for business, which of course is translated into, you know, blank check, do whatever you want to the natural resources and to the workers. We don't care as long as it makes you a profit. Well, then we may not have the person who is best suited to run the third congressional district. And look, I'm not looking to relitigate November in the race against Brad Path. There's enough has been said about the DCCC and other Democratic groups that probably gave up on that district too soon. But it does mean that looking forward from here on out, we have to check on the new congressman quite regularly to see if he is really looking out for family farms and the people who want to be good stewards of the land, or if he's simply going to become no different than what we saw in that article, people who are apologists for and enablers of those who would pollute and otherwise strip our resources, probably take advantage of workers and do whatever it takes just to make a buck. That's what I think we're probably going to see from Derek Van Orden. He posted this morning that he was getting set to go on the Fox and Friends pregame show, their early morning news show. I haven't seen a follow-up on that yet in terms of what exactly he said there. I have a pretty good idea that it's going to be, again, about fighting, you know, red tape, which, again, is just another way of saying let's remove some of the protections from, you know, the environment and workers and consumers. But that's what we're going to be facing in Congress today. In our next hour, we'll talk a little bit more about a different group of Wisconsin Republicans, the ones who are mentioned by the January 6th committee, and especially around the fake elector scheme and Ron Johnson's role, and how one or two fellow Republicans were hinting at Ron Johnson couldn't really be trusted to grasp the concept of the fake elector's plan and carry it out successfully. And so, again, details in the next hour about what some fellow Republicans said about that, and, you know, how it worked into their plan to try to steal the election after 2020. Meanwhile, we look at our neighbors next door in Minnesota, where the Democratic Governor Tim Walz was sworn in for a second term yesterday. We've talked about our $6 billion surplus here. Minnesota has a $17 billion projected surplus. And Walz said in his inaugural address that Minnesota has a historic opportunity to become the best state in the country for children and families. Walz, like Evers, is a former teacher and talked about being bold in ending child poverty, making sure that every child receives a world-class education, and making sure that Minnesota is the best place to raise a family. And they're talking about real ways to do that, when what we're going to hear from Wisconsin Republicans ceaselessly is that what you need to do is just, you know, lower taxes and get rid of regulations, and that's what's going to do it. That's not what's going to do it. It's that investment in schools, protecting natural resources, building up our infrastructure. Again, I come back to the list of things that Tony Evers actually did in his first term. And if the Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature wanted any free advice, it would be to look at what Evers has done and is proposing, look at what Minnesota has already done and is proposing, and ask themselves if that might not be a better record to run on in 2024. The Packers game time has been released. Remember yesterday we mentioned that the schedule was in a state of flux because of flex scheduling that the NFL does for the last week of the season, where pretty much all the games can be moved anywhere on the schedule. And I've never had this happen to me, but I can only imagine what it's like for a ticket holder to know that they bought a ticket to the Packers' last game of the season, of the regular season, a home game against Detroit, and maybe assuming that it would be a noon game or maybe 3:25. That's not going to be the case. The NFL announced yesterday the Packers and Lions will now be the Sunday night game starting at 7:20 on Sunday evening. I have nothing but sympathy for folks who were going to drive out and then probably drive back. Imagine you're here in Chippewa County where, you know, again, it's 3 hours tops to drive back. If you're doing that at the end of a, you know, of an afternoon game, you get back in plenty of time. Now you're not leaving till 11 p.m. and either driving halfway across the state or now you're scrambling for a hotel room. I'm not saying that the Packers don't benefit from having a primetime game. They absolutely do. But again, it doesn't seem to me like the best thing to do to your base of ticket holding fans. But be that as it may, that's what we're going to see is the Packers and Lions playing on Sunday night. Now, let's see. I don't think I have the scenarios in front of me here, but it could be that because Detroit doesn't play the Packers until Sunday night, they may already find out before the game that they've been eliminated. And I forget which team it is, but there's a team that if they win Sunday afternoon will eliminate the Lions. The Packers would still have to win. They have to win and they're in. If they don't win, they're out. But the Lions might already be out as well by the time they kick off. And then they have to decide, do they play the role of spoiler for the Packers or not? I think, of course, that they will. They are professionals, you know, by the way. So regardless, that's what the Packers need to know is win and you get in and you get to set the alarm for a little bit later because now it's going to be a Sunday night game. And if I were going to be here next week, I would immediately start complaining with Aaron here about how next Monday morning we're going to be rather foggy. But since I will be off next week, that won't be a problem for me. And Aaron, when I'm gone, do you get to just like, do they have like a remote control on your nightstand and you just hit a button and we rerun some best of shows? Are they that kind to you down there?
It's actually kinder than that. It's completely automated. We set it up ahead of time. If something weren't to work, then I could come in and just play it. But nope, it all just runs on its own.
All right. Well, good. So I'll keep that in mind as I'm watching the Packer game next Sunday night from an undisclosed location. I got time to tell a quick story about last week being with my grandsons in Idaho. We were at an arcade and they love to, you know, the way I was brought up, as you play these games, they spit out tickets. And I mean, reams of tickets, you know, hundreds of paper tickets. And then you cash them in for various prizes, little toys and things like that. Well, now it's done automatically. You swipe a card to play the game. And then the tickets that you win are put on your account automatically. Except that I found one machine where you still had to push a button for that to happen. And nobody had pushed the button in clearly some time. I noticed as my younger grandson's playing the game. And so I thought, well, what does this do? And I pushed the button. Next thing I know, 1,000 tickets are added to my grandson's account. So he's got all kinds of toys. And I just thought, you know, not all heroes wear capes and not all heroes play video games. They just help the ones who do. This day in history and music coming up next. You're up north.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show, and we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM The Shaw.
I was about to get on the radio and be interviewed, and all of a sudden, I see something out of the corner of my eye move. It was a squirrel.
Oh, that's not good.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
I couldn't find the squirrel, but I knew it was somewhere in the house. I ended up naming him Albert. He was relocated to Brookfield, so he is now a suburban squirrel.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on The Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think.
Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you. Or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Scattered rain showers likely today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 41. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 34 tonight. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies again tomorrow. Chance of snow showers. High temperatures reach up to 38. A dusting of snow tomorrow night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Day in music history. Hard to believe it's been 66 years now. 66 years ago today, this day in 1957, Fats Domino recorded I'm Walking, one of his hits on the charts in those early days of rock and roll. Let's see, there's a birthday today for Stephen Stills. He's 78 as we play For What It's Worth in the background here. He, of course, of Buffalo Springfield and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Let's see, this also is a birthday for J.R.R. Tolkien. He was born this day in 1892, died in 1973, and of course, best known for the Lord of the Rings trilogy and the approximately 42 movies that have been spawned from that. Is that, Aaron, with your note in there, does that make you a Lord of the Rings fan or aficionado?
I don't know about aficionado, but fan definitely. Although, I will say, I know with everything, the book is better than the movie, but I don't know. J.R.R. Tolkien, as much as I love his work, he was too obsessive over the details, and the books are just kind of long for no reason sometimes, not going to lie. Mm-hmm. Controversial take maybe, but that's how I feel about it.
No, that's my feeling on George Martin, not the George Martin I'm about to mention, but the George Martin who authored the Game of Thrones books. When you read the first book, you think that it's brilliant, and it is, and it was obviously a great TV show, but again, like you, sometimes you look at these, Robert Caro, the biographer, is another one, and you go, you know, I really don't need to know what flavor toothpaste they put on their toothbrush that morning, but I appreciate the willingness to kind of look into that kind of detail. Let's see, another 77th birthday for John Richard Baldwin, better known as John Paul Jones, bassist of Led Zeppelin. He's also worked with the Rolling Stones and the Yardbirds. And while we play that, I'll talk about the other George Martin, Sir George Martin, who was born on this day in 1926. He died in 2016 at the age of 90. Often referred to as the fifth Beatle. Normally I would play some Beatles music at this point, but we do that all the time, so we're just going to let the John Paul Jones music run in the background while I tell you about my admiration for George Martin. I mean, just an amazing producer, arranger, composer, conductor, probably the most influential producer of all time. It was in 1962 that he signed the Beatles to EMI, and his expertise as an arranger helps shape the band's unique sound. Now, I understand that there might be some debate amongst Beatles fans about the album Love, which was also done for a Cirque du Soleil show. I happen to think that what George Martin did in basically reimagining Beatles music for that album is legendary, and it is definitely one of my favorite Beatles albums, even though it wasn't the Beatles themselves that recorded it, but George Martin who arranged it. To 1970 now, BJ Thomas began a four-week run at the top of the charts with a song about the weather.
And just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit those rain.
Sometimes I like the contrast from one thing to the other, so we go from that to this from Daft Punk, Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger, because Thomas Bangalter turns 48 today, the French electronic musician. There's one thing I said I wanted to do with this show was not to get pigeonholed. We joke about yacht rock all the time, but we are definitely open to playing all genres, and we certainly have that. But our last stop takes us back to the 70s, where the Bay City Rollers hit number one on this day in 1976 with... So we're going to let this run in the background because there's no chance the Bay City Rollers are ever going to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So I'll let that play as I mentioned that on this day in 1987, only the second class was introduced to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it included the first woman to go to the Hall of Fame, Aretha Franklin, along with the Coasters, whom I mentioned yesterday, Eddie Cochran, Bo Diddley, Marvin Gaye, Bill Haley, Clyde McFadder, Rick Nelson, Roy Orbison, Carl Perkins, Smokey Robinson, and Jackie Wilson, all inducted into the still new Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on this day in 1987. Let's see, Eli Manning, former quarterback, is 42 today. And on this day in 2001, the Dave Matthews Band became the first major artist to release a song called I Did It on the controversial file-sharing platform Napster. Aaron, you're of an age now where Napster is ancient history to you, right? You didn't take part in that?
Yeah, it's definitely ancient. I'm aware of it. My older sister, I don't know if she used it, but I know she at least looked into it. I've used similar things that came after. Every preteen teenager who grew up with the internet has at some point pirated music before they knew it was a crime.
Yes, and some of us pirated it even when we knew it was. I was one of those who was rather, shall we say, slow to Napster, but then started to embrace it, download some music, and you know, burn some CDs, which is something, again, that was so new and novel, and now it sounds like ancient technology. Well, then when the switch went to digital music, iTunes specifically, and one of the things that you could do in those early days was you could upload your CDs and put those on your iTunes account. Well, it turned out that, you know, some versions of music that I downloaded from Napster and I uploaded to my early iTunes account, I really liked, but I couldn't find them anyplace because they weren't commercially available. And the one that specifically comes to mind is the Allman Brothers have done, endless versions of Melissa. It's a wonderful song, but the version that I really like, I have not been able to find anyplace else. And I came to realize it was one of those songs I still have from the Napster days that I downloaded from somebody who uploaded it from God knows where. And I can't find that anymore. Again, first world problems. It's not the worst thing to have, but interesting to note some of the ramifications of the Napster era. When it comes to finding things that are new and novel. And of course, the recording industry found a way to make sure that you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, and while it is a first world problem, at the same time, it's also a matter of preservation of art. And that's something that people run into in music, in movie pirating, in video games, where, yes, putting a video game file on the internet for people to download is potentially for piracy, but also some of these games are being discontinued and no longer supported on any platforms by the people who made them, and they're important parts of history. And if people can't find that old game, if people can't find that recording of a song that they really like, then it's just gone.
That's right. Well, remind me, we're going to have to, when we have some more time, I have a personal, you talked about preserving games. I need to help a group with a fundraiser. And I'm trying to come up with a game that we can play as part of the fundraiser. So I'm going to get to that later on. First, a reminder that Congressman Mark Pocan is coming up next to talk about improved relations with Cuba and the new session of Congress. Melissa Kay from Wisconsin Rapids joins us in this segment tomorrow. But Wisconsin Rapids folks, you're leaving us now. You have a great day. Everybody else, stick around for news at the top of the hour. Congressman Pocan and more coming up next. You're up north.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit wesaysaveit.org. That's wesaysaveit.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always